So I'm applying for a job, right? And it's time for me to pick one of the four genders. Female, I do not wish to disclose. Male or X, non-binary, Canada only. If only I was Canadian!
Well, thank God she's not Canadian. I'm really happy she's an American citizen. Why, you might ask? Oh, you don't say. Well, it's because that is a slightly offensive first pick for the new SCOTUS, the new Supreme Court justice for Biden to pick. We are nominating them or theirs or whatever, Zers, whatever they are. Savannah, that is exactly what we need in this country right now. More people with mental illness running the country and continuing to move us on probably the worst track record we've been in since 1972. But who the hell cares? It's just our country and life and whatever.
Yeah, you know, Biden said that he was going to choose a black woman for SCOTUS. Yeah. But I think that the qualification should be someone who has at least four genders, because how progressive are we really if we're stopping at just black and woman? Come on.
Yeah, I know. So we have a few more picks. We like to suggest things for the public. So coming up at number two, our number two SCOTUS pick that we're suggesting is
okay, a whole unit. That screams Constitution to me.
For our blind viewers. There's not a lot I can say. But also, it's true. They always look like this. They always do. And I'm going to say it's about time that we have more non-binary people. That's why we're picking these people. Mm-hmm. This also represents the fats. So, you know, if you're struggling with obesity, it's like at least...
You will be represented. Yeah. You will be represented. And honestly, to Elijah...
It looks like me from the last episode. Too much makeup on.
Like me. James Charles, like after 10 trips to McDonald's.
What if so you're dating a guy and he's like, yeah, you actually used to be kind of fat. And you're like, oh, let me see a picture of yourself. you pull this one out. This is so sad. I have bad pictures from my past, but this looks like their present. And then we need to pray for them. This is
genuinely our SCOTUS pick, though, because like Elijah just said, we would be really representing all groups of this. Even bold people would be represented.
It's like James Charles ate too many Big Macs and had a Britney Spears freak out moment is what this looks like. We have a few more suggestions. We're really excited to bring them up to you. So this is number two. This is a teacher named Vanessa Ruth. This is pick number two. Vanessa Ruth.
No, pick number three. This is pick number three. Don't forget about.
Oh yeah, this is number three. Mm-hmm. Oops, I can't count anymore. Oh. Okay, so this is what we got going on here. It's really nice. You got the Jacinda Ardern. Like she looks like she's about to lead New Zealand into the future. Mm-hmm. And you have the cat ears on, which we're going to find out that now cats can go to school. We're going to figure that out. Cats are allowed to go to school now. They're taxpayer dollars.
I like this one, too, because of the representation for the furries. And like you just said, people who may identify as feline type characters and or people. Very representative.
I'm always really sketched when people have two first names, like Chuck Todd and Vanessa Ruth. Mm. Could you have been more a little creative?
Well, like, you know, it's just kind of selfish. Like, pick one. You don't need two. Relax.
Well, now we're on pick three. And because there was four gender options, which we know is not even enough yet. We only wanted to provide you four options. Mm-hmm. Pick number four. Drum roll, please. Right here. Here it is.
Ooh, okay. I'm sorry. This one takes the cake.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
It's beautiful.
All right. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color, 8K graphics. Sav's joining me, our resident producer and the host of the Rapid Fire podcast.
It
just feels good every Tuesday and Thursday. The confetti brings the joy back to our lives. Before we jump into the story, Sav, the only reason why you should know this is because they're the best company in America. But what am I wearing underneath my pants right now?
Undertack. Underwear.
Yeah, literally boxer briefs. Technically, I wear them every day. Literally, I have so many pairs of them. Like, I think I have like 16 pairs of them. They're epic. I have all different types of colors. And the reason why they are so epic is because men are being inundated with overpriced boxers designed for testosterone deficient men. Like, what are these little boxers? You put a sock in there and advertise it? No. But here's Slightly Offensive. We demand more for our junk. That's why we trust Undertack. Now, Undertack boxers, they don't peel when you wash them. They wick away moisture, which the boys know it's true. They fight odor, and they don't ride up, which is actually what I hate the most about boxers, is that they ride up. These are perfect. So it's like whether you have an active job, a sitting job, it doesn't really matter. Make sure that you trust the best boxers that are Special Forces tested and is a company that loves America. And even when another company dumped me, they wrote me and were like, hey, we actually really support you and your values and, you know, all this amazing stuff. And so they really are a company that you should trust to buy your boxers from. Don't get the weird rainbow gay boxers with the gay guys that are sold for $2.99. Buy real American company boxers that you feel the quality, and also you can wear them every day in every situation. That's why I trust UnderTack. Head to getundertack.com. That's GETUNDERTAC.com for 20% off with the offer code OFFENSIVE20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's getundertack.com, GETUNDERTAC.com. Offer code OFFENSIVE20 for 20% off. Okay. Savannah, the Stelter one, I think Stelter is probably going to win. That's going to win. If you guys don't know this, one of the Supreme Court justices is going to be retiring. They're going to be leaving. Mm. And so God knows President Joe Biden is getting to choose somebody who interprets the Constitution. I think so the Supreme Court is cringe anyway. This idea that there's like a governing group of people that can tell us how our rights can be determined, like it's mm-hmm. pretty clear. And the way that they've been acting recently and even been operating, you know, kind of like, I know they did do a little bit of a win with the vaccine mandates, but the fact that that wasn't like an immediate thing, that the courts weren't like, hey, we're going to challenge.
Yeah, you know, why did it take a week for them to deliberate on that? And then also we had Kavanaugh, who was voting to keep these mandates in place for healthcare workers. So nurses were also exempt from that OSHA mandate anyway, which is very sad.
Yeah. And I was going to say too, remember Sotomayor, the justice, she was saying there's 100,000 kids in the hospital with COVID.
Yeah, she made it up. Sometimes you could do that.
Yeah. I don't really trust these people. I really don't trust these people. We're going to be talking a lot about some crazy things that we're going to get into today, including an interview later with Canadian-American-ish journalist Marie Oakes. Technically, she's American, but she lived there. And we're going to be tracking the protest as people are going to the Capitol. And luckily, in a Western country, it's been over a year, so it's about time we have more trouble at a nation's capital. Let's talk about this. So in the insanity of everything that's going on in the world, you might be looking around you. You might be feeling some black pills. You see that things aren't looking too good, Savannah. They're not looking too good. The stock market has crashed. Crypto's not doing anything good for us. You know, the housing market's supposed to crash later this year, which is good for some people. The Fed's raising rates. We have record inflation. We have supply chain issues. And in the midst of all of this, I do have to say that I have a lot of trust in the Biden administration, because with all this stuff going on, if you can go to my screen, the Biden administration is tackling our problems. This story comes from Blaze Media, by introducing a plan to lower speed limits and expand bike lanes in a bid to reach zero traffic fatalities.
That's what I'd like to see. That is the type of administrative work I love to see. Pete Buttigieg actually doing his job. Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay, so I want to remind you, and we'll always bring this up. We have a mayor of a small town named Mayor Pee-Pee Butt, and he's gay, which is fine. Go gay, be gay. But he's like the kind of gay where he's extra. Remember when he adopted kids and took paternity leave, and then he took a picture shirtless or something like that in like a hospital bed?
They kicked the mom out after she gave birth, and they're like, can we sit here? Like, just move.
Yeah. I was like, you didn't give birth. Why are you in a hospital bed with like hospital bracelets on? I don't know what's going on. Anyway, very gay, very gay, very gay. Well, he's in charge of our transportation sector for our country. Who would have known that when you put a short gay man from a small town that was a mayor named Mayor Pete in charge of the entire infrastructure of one of the largest nations in the world with the largest economy, that maybe shit would get messed up and wouldn't be working out too well. I want to remind you, during the largest supply chain disaster on the West Coast, if you didn't see it, I saw it for myself. I was in Los Angeles and I went down towards San Diego, and the ships to get into the port of Long Beach, which is in Los Angeles, were backed up down to like the south border pretty much. That's crazy. That much of a backup. So who would have known, right? That a little midget gay guy wasn't the solution to our problems.
Who would have known? And then also too, don't forget that with the 5G towers, international flights and airlines were canceling all around because they were just like, this infrastructure, it's just not going well. People were like, hey, Pete Buttigieg, are you going to, you know, chime in on this at all?
They couldn't land. Planes can't land, and Pete Buttigieg is trying to lower the speed limit. Well, you know who's not going anywhere? The planes. You've already lowered the speed limit. Congratulations. Listen to this. Lower speed limits and more bike lanes may soon be coming to your community, courtesy of the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg. I love our writers at the Blaze. They're so good. Buttigieg told the Associated Press Thursday that the Biden administration is preparing to roll out a new safe system plan designed to decrease traffic fatalities nationwide. The plan comes as a new federal data will be released this week showing traffic fatalities significantly increased in the third quarter of 2021 compared to the same period of 2020. The AP reported that half a year traffic death total for 2020 was 20,160, the highest half year since 2006. Okay, so number one, he said, this doesn't look good, and I continue to be extremely concerned about the trend. Okay,
That's basically him doing his whole job. Doesn't look good. I'm not going to, that's all I got for you. Sorry, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, my favorite thing, Mr. Peepee Butt, he's like just there and he goes, ooh, yeah. He looks at the docks, the boat's backed up. Yeah, that does not look good.
Dude, ooh, it's like,
somebody should fix that.
It's like when Gavin Newsom was commenting on the train robberies in LA and he just goes, who's in charge here? Someone should really do something about this. It looks really bad.
And then he says, gangs. He goes, gangs? I mean, not to use the word pejoratively. Mm. So
we would
groups,
never.
Collectives of people who are seeking to do crime. You know that he doesn't want to offend the gangs in LA, so they're not allowed to use the word gang anymore. They've made gang illegal. Dude, somebody needs to do something, and I'm just assuming it's not Peepee Butt. I don't think he's the guy for the job. I don't think he knows what he's doing. And this is the insanity. It's a backwards world. We asked for like chicken to be back in stock, and he's like, yeah. You know what really help Americans right now? Making them drive slower.
Gay rights.
Yeah. Homosexuality and speed limit changes. And bike lanes. Dude, bike lane expansions? What are you talking about?
Who's out here riding a bike to their freaking 9-to-5 office job?
Oh, well, technically Portland. That's true. Okay. I always forget about that.
Delete Portland off the face of the earth, truly.
Right. These people are absolutely insane. I want to remind you this. There's an actual video, video number two. We can put it on the screen. It is actually, we found a real video of the Pete Buttigieg and the transportation unit and Biden administration trying to turn this country around. So this is a live look at our nation's government just trying to turn us around. It's not looking too good. We might make it though.
We'll make it, but just barely. We're barely holding on. We're barely holding on, just like this little vehicle here.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's what I want to talk about some of this stuff. Let me find this other article here. So in a total backwardsness, we don't usually go through too much news here. We might go through a little more of it because I want to keep you guys more informed. And also, I am so sick of disgusting transgender people and stuff that we'll look at a little bit of it. But it's just like I need a break for a second. Okay, I don't know you guys. My brain is broken already, and I cannot handle it. So the Biden administration, we know, imported tons and tons of individuals into our country. Specifically, they are caught sending immigrants on a plane, illegal immigrants, to New York. Okay, this is to New York. They are shipping illegals from the southern border hours after they are apprehended and sending them into the interior and the northern parts and the center parts of our country to replace the native population and to bring it with immigrants who do not share our values, who do not share our understanding, and will continue to change the voting rights and the patterns over the next several decades. That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan summarized in a nutshell. Well, they said to us, remember this, don't you want the Afghan refugees? And I was just like, no, I never did want them. Did you want them, Savannah?
No. Yeah. Stay there and fight for your country, fight for your people. Like, if we can't keep importing everybody, we just can't do it. And if there were people that we should be importing, it would be the freedom-loving Australians. It would be the right. freedom-loving Canadians, not these Afghan men, not these people who, again, are not going to assimilate to our country well because religiously and ideologically, we just don't mix, honestly.
No, and here's a good example. This is a good example. If you're looking for an example to tell someone, Afghan refugee is convicted of sexually, I shouldn't laugh at this. I'm more like saying like, this is pretty, like, I know, like, this is crazy.
You're giving
this
me is, like New Zealand prime minister no, vibes right no, now. No,
this
suicide
is like,
rate
this is
had
like,
risen.
I laugh when it's awkward because this is like really exactly what I was saying. And I've been called racist for bringing this up. But it's like, hello, an Afghan refugee was convicted of sexually assaulting a three-year-old who's, you got to be sick. How if, you know, you look at a three-year-old and want to do sexual things with them.
But the second half of this headline is even worse.
So it's one thing to do it, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm like. I you could be mentally ill though, and you could, or like possessed, or like, you know, very satanic, and you could do something like this. But most people couldn't. But you would probably know it's wrong. What's crazy is this guy thought his behavior was acceptable because it kind of is. Listen to this. Oh, wow. Just got to pay my respect to our brothers in arms. Well, this individual here is an interesting person. This article goes on to say that although America has its appalling share of child sex offenders, the law and culture still consider such behavior a heinous crime, at least until the Soros prosecutors take over the country. However, not all cultures are like that. What is the implication of bringing in carte blanche over 76,000 Afghans last year without any regard for cultural assimilation and considerations? And by assimilation, I'm not referring to food and clothes, but core values. Isn't that what makes you the most mad, Savannah? Is that it's like whenever people talk about like immigration, they're like, but what about delicious food? I love food.
What about the culture? It's amazing. Remember,
Japan is still almost all Japanese people and they have cheeseburgers. It's fine. It's like, it's their,
they're doing okay, guys. They're doing okay.
It's like, but I really love the food. And how sad that they degrade an entire person's culture down to some spices. It's like, brother, that's not what defines the culture. It's part of a culture, but you can have the food without importing 76,000 people without regard for understanding of what's happening. Earlier this week, 24-year-old Mohammed Tariq, an Afghan refugee, was found guilty of sexually assaulting a 3-year-old girl in Quantico Marine Corps base where he was temporarily living along with many other refugees. According to the Justice Department, Tariq was arrested last September in Quantico after Marines observed him fondling a 3-year-old girl. United States Marines, I don't even like reading this, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
United States Marines observed the defendant inappropriately touching the victim over her clothing, on her chest, genitals, and buttocks, wrote the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of Virginia in a press release following the jury conviction. The victim and Tariq were unrelated. That is just, okay, I'm not going to read anymore. Okay, I'm done with that. This is the exact point, though, that I would like to make. It's like, well, what could possibly happen? Yeah. What do you mean? What are you, racist? Well, maybe. But also, on top of that, I'm just kidding. It's like, I don't know.
Well, you know what? This
is like, I don't want that in my country.
When
not racist.
The
I just
Afghan
want that.
Refugees first came over, a lot of people probably do not remember this, but two other stories just like this one immediately broke. Immediately. They were coming over here and they were raping kids. Like two other Afghan refugees caught doing the exact same thing. Now what? It hasn't been a year yet, has it?
Since we left Afghanistan? No.
No, not yet. But, you know, months into this and we're still seeing similar stories.
Well, yeah. And it's so interesting when you look at this and you see the fact that this is not just in a military base. I need 1 second here to find this story specifically. But there's a very alarming thing that happened, and I want to go and I want to read this to you. This comes from Blaze Media, and this is what I was mentioning earlier. The government is betraying the American people. Leaked video reportedly shows federal contractors flying illegal immigrants to New York suburb. First of all, if you're a contractor involved in this, you are a traitor to the United States. You are absolutely appalling in the fact that you are using this country to change this nation against the will of its people. Nobody wants this. Nobody's asking for this. I'm glad it's New York, though. I mean, they probably are okay with it. But also, above all other things, I don't think New York needs a supply of more people. I don't think they're doing okay. I think they've been fine for a while. But if you read the story, look at this picture. This is so crazy. They were caught saying, you want to try and be as down low as possible. And they're like coaching illegals on basically how to live in the country illegally and what to do. And this is actually being caught on film. It goes on to say that leaked video reportedly exposes illegal immigrants from southern border states disembarking from a charter plane at Westchester County Airport in New York. The video of an alleged undocumented immigrants, please Blaze.
Guys, come on. Let's call them what they are.
Come on. Look. 1, 2, 3. Illegal immigrants. There you go. Thank you.
They're illegal.
Was obtained via Freedom of Information Act request by former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, a Republican candidate for New York governor in 2022. In the 51-minute video, there is body cam footage from Westchester Police Sergeant Michael Hambrowski, who was seen on the tarmac of Westchester County Airport on August 13, 2021. There are reportedly about a dozen federal contractors assisting the illegal immigrants, I'm correcting that, from the plane to bus. At 6.09 a.m., Dombrowski reportedly begins asking questions to federal contractors about the charter flight arriving after the airport's curfew. I will actually read a little more of this. Blaze, what's up with these ads that I can't exit out of? What are you doing? There you go. Get yourself together. You're on a secure facility here, so we really don't know anything, and we're in charge of security, Dombrowski tells a federal contractor, according to the New York Post. This is anti all our security stuff. I'm just trying to figure out what's what, who's who, and how I'm supposed to keep this secure, Dombrowski continues. An alleged federal contractor tells the police officer, we're not allowed to have our picture taken when we get on base. Dombrowski reacts by saying, un-effing believable. And who's that by? DHS? And so then it goes on to say, the said contractor replies, yes, and the United States Army. Where is it? Oh, yeah. You're on the federal installation, but DHS wants everything on the down low. Another alleged contractor informs Dombrowski, listen, my thing is, I like to comply, but technically we're not supposed to show IDs or anything. Like I said, everything is supposed to be hush-hush. Dombrowski asks the man why the charter plane is dropping off purported illegal immigrants at the airport in White Plains, approximately 35 miles northeast of New York City. You don't want to be in somewhere where the spotlight is, the man responds. You want to try and be as down low as possible. A lot of this is just down low stuff, and we don't tell people because we don't want to do is attract attention. I wonder why. We don't want the media, like we don't want to know where we're going, we don't even know where we're going when they tell us. Fox News reported that one of the contractors told the officer late in the video, I get the whole secrecy and all the SHIT, but this is even about above my effing pay grade. The F, you know what I mean? So we have secret illegal flights that they're not even, the federal government's not even queuing in police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, when you really look at the fundamental of what this actually means and what's going on, this is beyond insane. This is like an act of aggression of war, I would say, against our own people in the way that they're operating. I mean, I don't know if you're listening to this or you're watching this, but if this doesn't make you upset, like the question is like, well, what do we do about this? And was this happening under Trump? Probably not. It might have been. But this is a fundamental reshaping of the country. Did he really say, Biden, that he wants a black woman as the SCOTUS?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Really? Of the justice system? Look how well it went with Kamala.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people are speculating that she may be a pick, but, you know... I know.
Oh my gosh.
Going back to the illegal immigration, though, really quickly here for a second, because Bill Malusian of Fox News was in Brownsville, Texas, and he was taking footage as well of just non-governmental organizations taking these illegal immigrants to the airport. Remember last year that people were taking photos of illegals in our airports. They had manila folders and envelopes filled with money and plane tickets that said, I don't speak English. Please tell me how to get to my flight. So this is something that's been going on well over a year. We look at those statistics, over 2 million illegals per the DHS came into our country in the time span of 2021. So like you said, this is a fundamental and demographic change that is altering our country, and our children will have a fundamentally different America.
Can you please tell your cousins we don't to stop coming?
Yes. I'm like, get out. Get out. There's too many Hispanic people here. Leave.
Jorge. Paco.
No.
Tiny.
No.
Chincho. Chancho.
Return.
Dude, I know. Chancho, because you're half Asian, so you'd be Chincho. I need Chancho. I Chincho.
No
idea what that means. Okay. Moving on. To talk about some of this, I'm gonna counter this with a little bit of a white pill here, and give you guys some good stuff that's happening. As they fundamentally change our country, from Blaze Media, 5.4 million Americans became first time gun owners in 2021, and there's not much to this except for the fact that another 5.4 million Americans are now armed, which I think is just a very good move. I hope, and I don't think a lot of these are, you know, maybe like leftists. I'm sure these are a lot of right-wing people who believed in the right of self-protection, and probably like women and mothers and different people too. I'm sure there's a lot of women who are just saw the chaos of 2020. And so the nice thing is when bad things happen, when our government allows bad things to happen, the only positive thing to it usually is the fact that it wakes people up. And some people join the movement against the one world government and the globalization, and every American that's further armed is makes it more difficult for tyranny to take over. It genuinely is true, but I know I became a first time gun owner in 2021. I could, Yeah, I mean, I became a first-time gun owner. There's was legal reasons why it was very hard to obtain a gun. Dude, that background check took so long for me to get my gun, but it's okay. But I did finally get one, and I'm actually shocked I was allowed to get one. I couldn't get one in California. I can't explain, but I couldn't get one in California. Mm. And so then I moved to Texas, and then...
You bought all the guns.
Now I bought a lot of guns. Yeah, so I'm really, really happy about it.
Yeah, the riots of 2020 were what prompted me to become a gun owner because, I mean, I'm a single female who lives alone. I'm not trying to die. So yeah, gun.
Yeah, very so safe. Gun.
Very good.
Well, the firearm buying frenzy continued in 2021 as nearly 5.5 million Americans became the first time gun owners, reports the Washington Examiner. Notably, sales expanded among women, Black, Asian, and Hispanic Americans. The president of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Joe Bartosi, said the surveys revealed the new gun owners are continuing to embrace their Second Amendment rights, and nearly half of them are seeking out professional training. And I'll explain why that's so important in a second, but obviously, amidst having your Second Amendment, and we know we always have our guns, we have our body armor for AR-500, and then we have our holsters for Northwest Retention, but when shit hits the fan, when things get bad, what are you going to do when there's no food? We had a power outage even a couple winters ago that literally knocked out the electricity. And I was like, wow, there's no food on the shelves because of a storm. And now there's no food on the shelves because of the storm of who's currently in office. So it's coming true that perhaps one day there may be even less food, and we don't know what's going to happen. There's no better time to get My Patriot Supply. It is the best time to prepare for the future. You get the brand that we love the most for preparedness and emergency food supply that lasts so many, so many, so many years. We're talking 25 years. It stays fresh for 25 years. All types of meals with enough calories that can feed a grown human being. And right now, you can save $50 on their 4-week emergency supply food kit that will stay fresh all the time for 25 years. That's crazy. A lot of you guys aren't even 25 years old. And, you know, I'm just really excited because this is a great meal plan. And I hope it never gets to the point where you have to use your Patriot Supply. But even if it's not because of the Biden administration, you're just having a tough week, it may come in handy. It may come in handy. Go to preparewithelijah.com. That's PrepareWithElijah.com right now. And learn how you can save $50 on their 4-week emergency supply food kit that will stay fresh for 25 years. Check it out. So one of the reasons why we need our firearms is because these people are taking over. Let's go ahead and let's watch video number one.
Where do you find this type of stuff?
I have a similar show where I used to do stuff.
It keeps getting worse. Podcast listeners are so blessed if they're not watching this right now.
Can you describe what this is?
No, I can't.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't watch this video. I just saw someone posted it, and I saw the person, and I was like, okay, I know whatever it is, it's gonna be dumb because they were roasting the person. And now I've seen it, and I wish I didn't. This week on, I wish I hadn't seen that on Slightly Offensive. To our blind viewers, I believe this is a hairy vagina costume that plays the saxophone. So things in 2022, it's like, remember like those memes, 1980. In 2022, we're going to have flying cars. 2022, we have these people. And we're being told they're normal. This is normal behavior. I don't even know. Sometimes I forget what to say about these things because it's so, dude, the saxophone just was over the top. 10 out of 10 creativity. Why these people are obsessed with genitals, I don't know.
I don't want to live in the same country as these people. I really don't. This is disgusting. And it's not entertaining, it's disturbing, it's satanic. We can go down the list of things that this is.
You know, when you say, can you get it off the screen, please? I'm just being like, thank you. Why was that on the screen for so long? I was like waiting for you to just like pull it off. I was like, get it off the screen.
No, I left it up there because I know you like to really,
I want to take a fly swatter, just like, whoosh, and just like literally just swat that thing. Like, okay, you probably like it too much. So anyway, that, ladies and gentlemen, was no context, a drag queen with vagina legs playing the saxophone. Things I didn't know existed until today. On that note, you think, well, what's the point, right? The backlash we always get, Sav, I think, from people, even people on the right, is like, well, why do you roast these people? Like, why don't you just let these adults, it's always the same thing, like, have fun and be weird. And, like, they're like, oh, look, even you laugh. Like, these people are trying to be outrageous, and it's, like, part of their culture or whatever, which is like, okay, there is an argument there. But I think that you and I both really know that it's not just about the fun. And I don't know how you find that fun, but I guess somebody does, right? Somebody does. Because it's beginning to affect children. It's beginning to, like, become not something that's behind closed doors. It's not something that's just done in the whatever that was. Was that a talent show or something? I don't know.
Yeah, like a drag queen club, probably.
Yeah, drag. They have quite a few of those in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that I don't think we have a lot of those in DFW.
No, probably. Maybe in Dallas. I know they have them in Austin.
Dude,
I
would be walking to the grocery store. And you would see drag queens, like, just, I don't know, just outside, like, talking and hanging out. And you're like,
ugh. It's at 2 p.m.
That's why I make
out.
So much good videos there. I mean, really, really. That's why I was able to make a lot of videos. People are like, how do you find so many crazy people? I'm like, no, literally, I go out of my door and I just see the people.
Like, that's just California, you know?
I know. That's why it's hard to make street content in Texas because people just aren't, like, as retarded. Like, they're actually kind of smart and, like, they don't say the dumb things.
Not recently. Not with all of the California immigrants that are coming in now. Now it's, you know, you go to Austin and that's what you see walking downtown.
That's true. In Austin. But DFW is a little more of a family town, I'd say. It's a little more.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. These people have a baby that is not being assigned a gender. And they're being raised gender neutral, which is very dangerous. And I want you to listen to this, and we can talk about the implications of this and what's going on with this new genderlessness in the country, which may actually be the best way to get them to become the next SCOTUS of the United States, at least to get our nomination. They need to be at least non-binary. That's where we haven't fully gotten to the gender list. Let's watch this.
Hey, so are we assigning our baby a gender? And if so, what is that gender? So short answer is we are not assigning them a gender socially, but we will be assigning them one legally. So you actually can assign an X for their birth certificate here, but we will be choosing M or F based on what they are assigned at birth. And that is because we want them to be able to navigate legal institutions with relative ease. But if at any time our child says, actually, I'd like to change it to X or change it to some other kind of legal sex, that's great. We will happily facilitate that whenever they ask for it. But socially, we're going to be trying to raise them as gender neutral as possible. So we're going to be giving them expansive clothing options. We're going to try to use the in-them pronouns largely. And we are going to try to just give them as many options as possible. And once they're at an age where they can start communicating their gender and their preferences, then we will listen to those and advocate for them. We will be providing a cis-friendly pronoun option for, like, elderly relatives and stuff who, like, have a hard time getting it. But we're not announcing that to the internet at the time.
Okay.
So, first of all, that's like that's a mockery of me. That's like someone trying to be transgender me. It's literally me if I was transgender. I guess we should start calling them transsexuals. Remember that. We need to take that back because transsexual is a medical term that alludes to the fact that they have a mental disability and they have a mental disorder. And not, transgender is like a gender identity. And we need to do that. We need to remove ourselves from using the phrase transgenders and call them transsexuals. And when they're not transsexuals, we need to call them people who play dress up because transgenderism is not even real, right? This idea that you can transition your gender, the idea of a transsexual, you're like, oh, so you can transition your sex. No, but it's like when you go through all the surgeries to make yourself look like the opposite sex, that's called transsexual. It's a medical term that means you went through surgeries. And now people are just like transgenders. It's like a fad and they put on a little lipstick and they put like some pads in their shirt and then they call themselves a woman. You know what I'm saying? Like you see these people like competing in women's sports. Though transgenderism is not real. Transsexual is real, meaning you can make yourself look like the opposite sex kind of, but it's never really that good. Like it never really is that convincing. Like this thing, like, you know, like, it's the whole thing of like trying to be the other sex. It doesn't work. There's always like a good hint. And when the girls transition to men, it's always like, they talk like they have helium balloons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, my name. That's what I said. I could be trans. What if I am transgender? Who knows? Next week on Mr. Reagan. I was going to say, it's like you go, well, why can't you just let someone be transsexual? Like, why can't they just do this? Well, first of all, if anybody came to you and told you, if I'm going to cut off my leg, you would call them insane. If they told you they want to jab out their eye, you would call them insane. But for some reason, when they want to cut out their breasts and chop off their dick, then they're brave. And it's like, I think it would put someone in a mental institution. If someone was like, dude, I want to like maim my body and like scar myself and hurt myself, I'd be like, dude, you need to be institutionalized. Like, you need help because that's really bad. And then they'd be like, because I don't feel like me, my brain, I'm another person. Like, yeah, dude, you're sick in the head, bro.
But now we have the people who should be institutionalized raising children and wrecking havoc on our entire society. What I heard in this entire video was child abuse. This is disgusting. And yeah, like, think about the fact that this child, think about the implications. This child is going to grow up being told and introduced to these subjects and topics that they wouldn't otherwise be introduced to. They're not going to understand it. Again, children, at the very early stages of their lives, their brains are very malleable. So when you're introducing them and confusing them with all of these sex and gender and all this nonsense, it's ruining them and it's abusing them. It's mentally abusive to children to do this to them.
No, you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. And it's so strange to me. It's so bizarre. Like, and it's not just with the kids too, but like, that's the idea of saying, I'm going to raise a kid to be gender neutral. Basically what you're doing is you're taking your mental illness and you're conflating it with parenting, and then you're pushing it on a child. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, it's okay, so then that's just children. But what if they don't raise kids? Okay, well, let's look at this. Blaze News, transgender Jeopardy contestant's winning streak finally came to an end. What a beautiful woman, right, Savannah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Peak womanhood right there. I can't even joke about this anymore. I've like, I'm just so burned out on trying to pretend that these people are normal. They're not normal. They should not be included in regular society. We should not be changing society for them in the slightest. And it's not funny anymore. Like, I'm so tired of reading these headlines and of seeing this nonsense every single day. And I'm not going to be inclusive or accepting of it because it's not something to accept. This is mental illness.
No, it is. It isn't something to accept. It really is. And but you know what? It always has been considered a disorder, right? It really has. I think that's the difference. It's like transsexualism is a, like, it's actually like, you know, gender identity disorder, GID, is a, like a mental, it's like a mental illness, kind of. But it's more like a disorder because it's like a functional, right? It's not just like you're like, you have something snapped and you can fix it with pills. It's like somebody's like it's a disorder. They've gone crazy, like schizophrenia or something like that. Like, they're like, they've got something wrong with their brain. It's like not working correctly. But it's not just like it went wrong. But the point is, transgenderism is mental illness to me because it's like this idea that you're not mentally ill when you clearly are is the hardest part about it.
Right.
That like anybody that looks like this is mentally ill. If you think you look good, this is the point. This person robbed people of their money and also took the score for the most money won or something like that, or the longest winning streak for a woman in history. Thus, again, stealing opportunities from women and records from women. And, you know, the only time I've seen a more beautiful woman in my life, I think it's here. Let me see if I can get it to load. Oh, yeah. There you go. That's the last. I think that's a little bit more attractive, would you say? They come close.
Yeah. The close tie. No, the Brian Stelter definitely more attractive for sure.
Supreme Court Justice Brian Stelter.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Apologies. Let me use the correct title.
These are two people that I think win the title for having a bigger head than myself.
Potentially so. And I mean, I heard too that this individual didn't agree with being able to take away that record from women. But either way, the fact that we've become so accepting as a society to where we are pandering to these types of people and we are allowing them to fundamentally change everything, it is an issue. And so I'm not coming at this from a place of hate saying that I will not accept this type of thing, but I'm coming at it from a place of love, actually, because we're not encouraging this type of behavior because it's not natural or normal.
Hey, look at this. Transgender Jeopardy contestant, Amy Schneider. I wish, on some of our wording, I'm going to talk to the Blaze News team. Like, we should be like, Jeopardy contestant, Amy Schneider, a biological male that identifies as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like we should like put emphasis on the truth there. Because it's like, and also I think the transgender thing too, that is definitely a transgender, not a transsexual. Because that's somebody who's like just kind of playing dress up. You know, like
drag queen.
Yeah, it's
Amy
like a drag
Schneider.
Queen. Came to an end after whopping 40 wins on the show. Schneider racked up more than $1.38 million in winnings and will return in the future for the game show's Tournament of Champions. Schneider now sits in second place behind Ken Jennings for the most consecutive games won on the show. Jennings won 74 consecutive games. So there's that. Now you go, what's the pain in that? It's a record, right? It's a record. What does it matter? It's just people's livelihoods and reputations you're shattering. What does it matter? Well, there's a really interesting article that got brought up from Fox. I'm going to see if I can zoom in a little bit better on this. There you go. This article is titled, NCAA Leaders Are Deliberately Turning a Blind Eye to Injustice in Women's Sports. And this is by the person that I believe it's talking about. They used to call me the fastest girl in Connecticut, but I couldn't outrun an injustice. For 4 years, I competed as a high school runner and made it to the state championship every one of those years. But in my junior year, I lost 4 of the state titles I earned to males who identified as females. The NCAA isn't protecting women and transgender participation policy, female athlete says. They give awards based on who wins, typically the person with the strongest muscles, the greatest lung power, the fastest speed, not based on how a person identifies. At the end of the race, it is about biology, not gender identity. And no amount of testosterone suppression can change a male's innate physical advantages like bone structure and muscle mass. There you go. This is Chelsea Mitchell, age 16, 11th grade at the Connecticut State Championship in 2019. As fast as I am, I can't outrun those advantages or the injustice that protects them. For saying that out loud, I've been branded by some as a sore loser and a hater. But what I object to has nothing to do with hate. Female athletes like me make a ton of sacrifices to compete, work tirelessly to shave fractions of seconds of our personal times, and giving up what many would consider the normal teenage life by watching what we eat, skipping parties for practice, going to bed early to get up early and practice yet again. It becomes almost like a career. And we do this all while working hard to earn scholarship opportunities and preferred college universities. It's all worth it to us because we know we stand a chance at victory against our fellow female athletes, but not against those who aren't biologically female. It's demoralizing to see all that effort and sacrifice futile, where we are punished for a biological reality we can't do anything about. And that's what's been happening on high school and college campuses across America for the last several years. With the permission of coaches and administrators, as well as those in leadership at the National Collegiate Athletics Association, some male athletes have been pushing their way into women's sports teams and playing fields. With their physical advantages, they've been taking the positions, the wins, and the opportunities so many women and girls have worked so hard, often their entire life, to obtain. When women protest this, objecting to seeing the rewards for all their hard work go to competitors with a biological edge we can't hope to overcome, we're accused of hatred and bigotry. But the issue is fairness, and the people who should be protecting us and defending our rights are letting us down. And that's pretty crazy. I mean, that is really, really difficult to read stuff like this, genuinely. In a society that should be protecting children, protecting women, right? Even a woman, you know, you make arguments about different things. This woman's saying, look, you guys, you're letting us down. What are mm-hmm. you doing? I don't know what's gotten into our country. Maybe it's because we abandoned God that we've like lost sight of truth. It could also be true that we've lost sight of God in general or lost sight of truth. It could be an intentional infiltration of our university systems, like creating confusion. But like, who would let a guy into a girl's sports team? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the entire subversion of our country. That's why. And, you know, you mentioned our institutions being, taken over. And I know that China has had a lot to do with that in regards to like injecting communist ideology. And so this is like a little bit different, but still same issue regarding the indoctrination and the re-education of an entire generation that has then been brought up to say, oh, this is great. We're actually going to praise when a transgender female wins a female-led race. You know what I mean? It's like these kids are thinking that this is okay. These kids think it's normal, and they're cheering it on because they don't know any better. They're told that they're hateful and they're bigots if they don't cheer it on, and this is just the new normal.
No, it is true. And honestly, it's like, and you would go like, okay, all right, so where does it stop? Well, it's not gonna stop. Let's go ahead and play video 4 if we can.
The agenda that is being pushed through our schools is, just my opinion, but somewhat nefarious when it comes to some of the activities. So let's talk about furries. It was addressed by a child a couple months ago that they are put in an environment where there are kids that identify as a furry, a cat or a dog, whatever. And so yesterday I heard that at least one of our schools in our town has in one of the unisex bathrooms, a litter box for the kids that identify as cats. And I am really disturbed by that. And I will do some more investigation on that. I know it's going on nationwide. I know it is. It's part of the agenda that's being pushed. I don't even want to understand it. But I think that people need to be aware of it, because I am really upset as a parent that my child is put in an environment like that. And, You know, I'm all for creativity and imagination, but when someone lives in a fantasy world and expects other people to go along with it, I have a problem with that. So I'm just putting that out there. I will investigate more.
So this is actually, you know, a teacher was actually fired for not meowing back at a student, refusing to meow back because their pronouns were a meow. There was meow. Like that was their pronouns were meow. And so they wouldn't meow back. Or maybe it was purr back. They wouldn't purr back, I think, or meow back. And so there you go. There we have it.
Why are we allowing children to run our society, essentially, like children and the mentally ill?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what's going on, Savannah. I'm not entirely sure what's happening. But I will tell you this. As all of this comes to a close, you know, we've seen the stock market crashing. We've seen crypto. We've seen a lot of investments just kind of being what they are, just a letdown. But obviously we don't pull out of the stock market. We don't pull out of crypto or anything. We diversify our portfolios. And when things are going good or they're going bad, we are in it for the long haul. We hold the line. We do. We hold the line. And things always do bounce back up. But have you ever thought about not just crypto and the stock market, but investing in precious metals like gold from Birch Gold? Because obviously inflation is already running hot, which is why we don't put our trust in fiat currency. We trust gold. Not sure how to get into investing in gold? Check out Birch Gold. If you want to get started on protecting your savings with gold in a tax-sheltered account, then you should request a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to 989-898. That's the word OFFENSIVE to 989-898 in order to get a free info kit. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's a great way to get information, because if you're like me, I'm like, well, I don't know much about gold. Well, the guys at and the girls at Birch Gold can take care of you and get you everything you need to know to get started, to diversify your portfolio, and to keep your money invested in things that have long-term shelf life. Anyway, text OFFENSIVE to 989-898. Check out Birch Gold today. So in talking about all of this and in the insanity, I don't want to end in such a bad note of what's happening. There is a fight that is going on. People are resisting. And while, you know, places like Australia and New Zealand have been such a disappointment in terms of, you know, abandoning their God-given rights and allowing the government to infiltrate them in a crazy Beijing-style police state, the people up in Canada are Canucks, as we call them. Our little boys and girls are moving in the large numbers to protest these COVID measures and to cause their Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, to resign. And of course, we wanted to talk about that with someone who's been covering that very, very intricately and detailed, Marie Oakes, who is a journalist and a reporter. She's, I believe, American, but also was living in Canada, but recently moved back down here. And we're excited to have her on the show to get an update and to find out how, if you're in Canada, you can fight back, or if in any other country, how we can continue to resist this World Economic Forum Great Reset push for a one-world government with no privacy, where you own nothing. Anyway, I'd like to welcome Marie Oakes to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you for having me on, Elijah. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and it really is good to be here. So people get confused. People say that you're a Canadian, but aren't you just an American, but you lived in Canada? What's the story there?
Well, I'm a dual citizen, so I get the best of both worlds, whether it be Joe Biden's America or Justin Trudeau's Canada.
Yeah, it's like, it's hard to pick who's better, right? Because you have Biden and you have everything happening in the United States, and then you have Justin Trudeau, who he's sitting down, which is okay, but it's just what he likes to do. And it's like, between the two countries, what do you say is the best place to live at the moment?
Definitely the U.S. I mean, right now I live in a blue state, but in a lot of ways, people just are no longer living totally in fear. Of course, you're going to have a lot of people who are, but generally, if you don't wear a mask, where I live, at least in Illinois, people don't care. No one comes up to you screaming like I see those videos coming out of New York or, say, California. So life is definitely better here than it was when I was living in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, which many of your viewers, if they know or do not know, was basically the most lockdown area in all of North America and sort of still is.
Yeah, so what's the situation like? I mean, I know it changes from territory to territory, but if we're accounting some of the worst territories to live during this lockdown stuff and maybe some of the better ones, what's life like for Canadians right now?
Well, life is pretty bad across the board, I would say. Almost everywhere in Canada right now, they have vaccine passports. So if you want to go into different establishments, change depending on the province you're in. Say if you're in Quebec and you're unvaccinated, you, as of this week, are no longer allowed into any retail locations that are larger than 1,500 square meters. And say if you want to go to Walmart or Costco to get your prescriptions filled or go grocery shopping, they are making it so an employee has to come with you to ensure that you're not buying any other items. Say like at Walmart, if you want to buy clothes, you're not allowed to do that. So vaccine passports in Quebec are very widespread, and they're also talking about taxing the unvaccinated so they can use the healthcare system. And in places like Ontario, although it's not as drastic and draconian, they still do have vaccine passports. They've had here and there like stay-at-home orders and those sort of things, and that's kind of how it is all over Canada at this point.
So you're basically like you're othered. You're basically not a citizen. You don't have rights unless you're vaccinated. It's so weird, though. You know, a lot of information is out there about the inability for this current form of vaccine in fighting against Omicron. Of course, they say it still helps, right? But it's not as good as they would like. So they're developing a new vaccine for Omicron. But unfortunately, Omicron season may soon be coming to a close. We have a new variant that is now, they're now monitoring. So it's like they can't even keep up with this stuff. It's like their development and their research is always a step behind. And so it's like, what is the science? What is the research? What is the government telling the people is the justification for taking away their rights and for treating them like second-class citizens for not getting the vaccine?
I mean, right now it's just a blame game. In a place like Quebec, they keep just saying, oh, we have to do this because our hospital system's collapsing and they are overrunning our hospitals. That's why we have to give them a tax. The tax hasn't been completely worked out, but it really seems like it's something they're going to pursue. They've been very harsh on their rhetoric to the unvaccinated. Now they also are setting up all these outdoor clinics for people to go get vaccinated. They are now investing money into calling campaigns to call, you know, the unvaccinated Quebecers, which is only 10% of the population of Quebec. So they have all of these restrictions and it's about 10% of the population that is unvaccinated. So the messaging isn't making sense. But the thing about Quebec and Canada kind of in a whole is they have a lot of trust in their government. It seems like trust is right now crumbling, but it's still there and people are largely in favor of these type of restrictions and ostracizing the unvaccinated because in a large part, the population is all unvaccinated. I mean, the population is all vaccinated, so they don't feel these measures personally. And when these measures are not personally affecting them, I just think people don't really understand the severity of the measures and how wrong it really is.
Yeah, it is interesting. In a lot of these crown colonies, like in New Zealand and in Australia, as well as United Kingdom, which we did see just push back a lot of their measures. I mean, what do Canadians think about that? I mean, I know everyone likes to mock America. It's like, well, it's America. It's just America. Like, and they always make up stats about gun violence, not realizing that those stats are actually a lie and that most of those gun violence are suicides and that over half of them are suicide and the other half, most of them are involving gangs. And this just really has nothing to do with a gun problem. Anyway, they like to talk crap. But then in the UK, our British friends, the propers, have decided to roll back the mask mandate and also some of the measures after, of course, the controversies with Boris Johnson and many other people partying during the strictest parts of the lockdown. I mean, do Canadians look to the United Kingdom as a possible solution? Are they completely independent and going to continue more like Australia? What are your predictions?
Well, it's hard to say because there is such a divide in Canada between people who want more measures, if you could even imagine that someone wants more measures than are currently in place, and then the people who are kind of sick of this and actually have to deal with these measures. Because a lot of the people who want these measures and more measures are people who are largely not affected by it. They're government bureaucrats, they're people in the media, they're people with at-home type of jobs. They're not people who have to be a truck driver, have to deal with the border, have to deal with how annoying these restrictions are on a day-to-day basis. They're not in the service industry where they have to wear a mask all day long or they have to be the ones checking people's vaccine passports. So there is that divide. But like we're seeing with this trucker convoy, which we're going to talk about further in your segment, you're seeing a lot of supportive people wanting these sort of mandates and restrictions lifted. You're seeing a lot of children. They're sick of this. They're sick of not being able to do school sports because in a large part of Canada, children are not allowed to do sports right now. And for many of your viewers, I'm sure when you were younger in school, you probably did extracurricular activities, and that's being taken away from all of these kids. And if there's an outbreak in one of their classrooms, their school shuts down. They're back on to at-home learning. And I don't think many kids like this. I had to do the at-home learning for the last semester of my university, and it was the worst experience I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, no, it really, it is crazy. We could get into some of those things, but this wasn't meant to be discouraging to our audience. It's actually interesting with this large protest that we're tracking. A lot of people should be tracking. And if you're not, let more people know about this, because people in Canada need to hear about it. The media is doing the best they can to ignore it. I'm sure the mainstream media there doesn't want to give it the credit it is. Anything that helps the people in a country, the media obviously aligned against its people will refuse to cover. And things that will hurt us and degenerate us and ruin us, they will put on blast, like the dangers of the Omicron. Well, I was reading in Fox News that the Freedom Convoy left from Vancouver to Ottawa on Sunday to protest the federal government's vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers, which took effect on January 15th. The Canadian Trucking Alliance estimates that roughly 15% of truckers in the country are not fully vaccinated, or about 16,000 truck drivers. And you see a picture here. So this obviously, it just looks like, oh, it's a little small protest. What is going on? What is this? I'm hearing a lot about it. And what size is this protest at this point? And then we'll talk a little bit about like what it's for and what they hope to accomplish.
So if you want to follow more of the convoy protest, you can definitely follow me on all my social media platforms. I'm at the Maria Oaks. But what's been going on is that was sort of the catalyst, was the vaccine mandate for drivers going cross border. So the Trudeau government put in a mandatory vaccine policy that made it so if you were a Canadian truck driver trying to come back into Canada from the US, you know, doing a load, if you were not vaccinated, you were now subject to testing requirements and quarantine. So you'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks. That really hurts your job. Usually these truck drivers, they go home for maybe a day and then pick up another load and are back in the US. And that was the policy before. They were exempt from these border restrictions prior to, I think it was January 15th. And we're also seeing this policy, a similar policy in the United States, but we're going to talk about Canada here. So this kind of prompted a lot of truck drivers, and a lot of people think it's only vaccinated or unvaccinated truck drivers. There's actually a lot of vaccinated truck drivers getting involved in this because they're done with everything. And the Fox News article kind of is towing the line with this. They're kind of taking the mainstream media word for it in Canada that this protest is primarily about that vaccine mandate that only affects drivers. Well, this entire protest has morphed into something so much bigger. This protest now is encompassing, they want all of the restrictions, all of the mandates on all Canadians to be lifted. They want the vaccine passports gone. They want all of it. They want life back to normal. So this has been an all-encompassing protests. Right now, the numbers are really hard to grasp and estimate because as it's moving through Canada, Canada is a really massive country. That's why this convoy had to start last weekend, because going from BC to Ottawa is like a 4 or 5 day trip. So these are very dedicated drivers, and they're picking up drivers and supporters on the way to Ottawa, because as you're driving through BC, you're driving through several more provinces. And as they're driving through these provinces, they have these, you know, areas where they're doing meetups, and then those drivers will add on. So it's not that it's necessarily one big convoy. There is one big convoy coming from the west, but there is multitudes of convoys making their way to Ottawa right now. Today, they started in the east. So the eastern leg of the convoy started because it's closer to Ottawa, because Ottawa is in Ontario, more eastern part of Canada, closer to Quebec. So we will really know how large this is on Saturday and Sunday when they start reaching to Ottawa. And it's not just truckers part of this protest now. Now there are thousands upon thousands of just pickup truck drivers, car drivers, people who are just going to meet up in Ottawa and protest. So I think this is going to be probably one of the largest protests in Canada's history. It will definitely break records in terms of a truck convoy. It's crazy the videos that are coming out of Canada. It's crazy when you see the drone footage or airplane aerial footage. And what's even crazier is the people who can't to the convoy, who aren't truck drivers, who can't make it to Ottawa this weekend, well, they're showing their support. So in overpasses upon overpasses on large, you know, so many kilometers or miles long, you're seeing people lining the sides of highways on top of overpasses just to cheer on and support these truckers and the drivers who are making their way to Ottawa. And it's an insane, really inspiring thing.
Yeah, I was seeing that the people, I mean, I might be wrong, but I was saying that it could be up to over a million people could end up being at the Capitol by the point to protest. Perhaps they don't know, but definitely in the tens of thousands and definitely continuing and moving forward. And it's hard to encompass. I mean, when they're saying it could be anywhere from like tens of thousands to like 1.4 million people that descend upon the Capitol, I think that one thing they should be is afraid, right? And realizing that people are tired of this. It's not just unvaccinated people. It's like, it's sort of like the United States discussion on like race crime and whatnot has been similar to the COVID thing, where it's like, well, you know, with Black Lives Matter, it's like, you know, we really need to take policing out of black neighborhoods. And then you're like, well, you look, talk to the black people and they're like, we don't want the police out of our neighborhoods. Actually, that's not true. And it gets misrepresented. Like, we're helping black people by getting this. It's like, no, why don't you ask them what they want? And governments have taken a position of like telling us what we need rather than, you know, writing actual legislation and getting votes on things and putting things into place. Everything's been emergency orders and mandates and things that are really not exactly a democratic way of governing a country. And especially too, like with the people now revolting in many countries and saying, you know, enough is enough. It gives me hope. At least I hope that people in Canada see what's happening in the United States, how we've defeated a lot of our mandates through the courts and in fighting them by I'm not saying this is good necessarily, but the government was fearing genuine violence and revolt from the people. They were really scared about that. It's true. If you want to look that up, they were doing drills in North Carolina, preparing in case people tried to topple the government over extreme COVID measures. In the UK, they were having similar issues as well. And so people threatening and fighting back, you know, don't be the one to threaten the feds with violence. But also you can start by doing something a lot less dangerous, and that's actually joining these protests. If people want to join the protest, if they want to get involved in this in Canada, I mean, I don't know if American truckers that are over there might want to get involved too. I'm not sure. Where are they at right now, or like where are they going, and how do people join in?
Well, it's hard to say exactly where everyone is because, like I said, there's several different convoys making its way there. So if you want to get involved, just get to Ottawa, go. You have a couple of days left to make it there. So that's what I would do. But also there's Facebook groups that are huge that are posting the maps, posting the times of when they're going to be in certain places. They're in Ontario right now, the main leg of it. And now they're leaving places like New Brunswick and Quebec tomorrow before the protest because it's closer. So if you're looking for, I believe it's called Convoy to Ottawa 2022 on Facebook. And then there's a couple others and there's websites that have all the routes. But right now, what a lot of these truckers and people trying to make it to Ottawa are finding is there's a lot of blockades or, you know, halting of it because of weather conditions. It's really cold in Canada right now, if you can imagine. So the road conditions aren't very good. So a lot of road closures are taking place right now, which are impacting this route right now. But speaking to the point about what the media is doing and, you know, potential for violence, the media right now for the last 2 days has been really pushing this idea that this trucker convoy is not peaceful. This is going to lead to, this is what they have actually called it, January 6th in Canada. They're saying that the truckers are going to create January 6th. So for all your viewers, I'm sure they know what that means, what that entails, what they're trying to push on these truckers. Even Justin Trudeau just recently came out and said these people have, you know, horrible views. They have horrible opinions. They're terrible, dangerous people. These are all things he essentially said. And now he's basically in hiding because he was exposed to someone who had COVID, even though he's tested negative. So it kind of sounds like he's just hiding. But it is really concerning the rhetoric in the Canadian media of trying to say these are extremists. When you see the videos, these are like nice little kids and women giving lunches to the truckers and people with Canadian flags. They don't look like insurrectionists trying to burn down their Capitol building. They just want to be heard because for so long, like you said, everything's been governed by decree, emergency orders. It's no different in Canada, and it's actually worse in Canada because they don't have as strong of a constitution as the US. They don't have the sort of courts you have in the US. Time and time again, ruling after ruling, the courts in Canada have said that, you know, this is a public health emergency. Sorry, like the old laws don't matter. This supersedes them.
Yeah, it is alarming. But I do want to say for anyone that's going there, you know, it is good that the government is afraid of its people. Obviously, the government should take the note if they're afraid of violence. There can be a justification for war and different things around the world in different situations. And it's like, well, maybe if your people are trying to topple you, instead of being afraid and hiding, you should say, what are we doing wrong that we're afraid that someone's trying to topple us? Now, I don't believe that for them, but I'm just saying, if you're genuine about this, well, you know, it's kind of BS, because it's like, they would be taking way bigger measures if they really thought there was gonna be like a coup or something, right? Even January 6th, they tried to make an insurrection. It just didn't, it fell flat. But I meant like, if you're genuinely thinking that your people might revolt, it probably means you're governing very poorly and you need to change the things that are ruining their lives. People don't just revolt for no reason. It's not like we're not the French, right? We don't just protest for no reason. We're like, people protest when they're angry and they're mad. And if they're going to use violence and you're afraid of that, then you need to rethink a lot of things, because people are very peace-loving in our own homeland, at least. We love foreign wars, or at least the U.S. does. But in the homeland, we like to keep things good. So to the Canadians, make your voices heard. And being someone who was at January 6th, do not break the windows of your Capitol building. Or leave your trash, because it'll be known as the worst day in Canadian history and they will use it against you. Just remember, there are other ways to do this than that. Anyway, Marie Oakes, thank you so much again for joining us here on Slightly Offensive, keeping us updated. We hope to talk to you more in the future, maybe to get an update and see what was going on. If people want to follow you, if they want to find you, I know you mentioned it earlier, where can they follow your work?
I'm at the Marie Oakes everywhere. You can find me on Twitter, Telegram, TikTok, Instagram, Getter, where else? Substack. Did I say everything? I believe so. Oh yeah, Facebook, the worst thing ever. They made me send them my ID in order for me to use my Facebook account. Unfortunately, this is part of my job and I have to do horrible things like that. But I'm also a writer at thewestphaliantimes.com. So if you want to find reporting there, you can also look there. And I'm covering a lot of this stuff and other international news as well, not just Canada-centric stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. Have a great rest of the time. And we are standing in solidarity with the Canadians. We hope that your protest is successful. Thank you again.
Thank you, Elijah.
Incredible. She's just such an incredible journalist, and I really appreciate her taking the time to come on with us last minute to give us an update. As you guys have been requesting, we do listen to you. And obviously, that being said, if this is your first time watching, or if you've been watching for a long time and you haven't left us a 5-star review, I don't know why you haven't. It literally is the easiest and best way to support the show. And it's like free. And you just click on something anywhere where podcasts are. Leave us that review, specifically if you can in Apple Podcasts. It really helps Google Play Store, wherever you're leaving a review. And you might have it read on the show. We have two here. One from King Nub. Very epic show. I've been an SOB for a long time. Loved your show and vids of you on the street. And I'm happy seeing you grow. When I that my boy Kai Clips was going to be on, it made me even prouder and happier. Love you, Elijah. You too, I guess, Seb. That's weird. That's the first time.
He guesses. It's okay. I'll take it.
And Pines Betour said, great show based. Also, I would like to say, I made this announcement the other day. I am retiring the use of the word based.
Yeah, the boomers got a hold of that
one. Well, the neocons took it. The neocons started saying it, and then they started writing articles on like what it means to be based and stuff.
And then you were just like, that's canceled.
I'm just not going to say it ever again.
It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, but I'm like officially retiring it. Like it's officially retired. And if I say it on accident, out of habit, okay, but we all make mistakes. Anyway, don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to become an official SOB and join the community and join our Telegram, Slightly Offensive. You can find the links in the description. Follow myself and Savannah on all social media, including alt social media like gab.com, but anywhere else you want to find us, we are there. And support Savannah at the Rapid Fire Podcast, that you can find Google Play Store, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube while it still lasts. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.